Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 12. We sang, Holy, Holy, Holy. We're here to worship. We're here to receive instruction. We're here to encourage one another. All those things will ideally happen on a Sunday morning as we're together. There's a story that I came across several weeks ago in my personal reading. And I'm familiar with the story, but I kept turning back to it and puzzling over it. You know, what really was going on here? Why happened what it did? It hadn't occurred to me to connect it to the verses that Joseph read in the beginning here. But I do just conclude that there is a whole lot more going on behind the scenes probably than what we think at any one time. And the evil one certainly wants to get us off the track, to do wrong. Now, I've said time and again over the years that the Old Testament stories, and this is from 1 Corinthians 10, the Old Testament stories are examples for us, and they're written for our instruction. That wording is in the New American Standard. But particularly the one character in today's reading, and I'll read quite a lengthy passage here. The question is, why did this one character do what he did? So what can we learn? I don't know what all we can learn, but there is one definite conclusion that I want to zero in on then at the end. Now, to get the background here, verses 25 through 33 in chapter 12 tell us about Jeroboam. This is the king of the first king of the divided kingdom. So he's the first king of the northern kingdom of Israel. It's after Judah and Israel divided. And then here was his reasoning. In verse 27, it says, if this people go up to offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will return to their Lord, even to Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and return to Rehoboam, king of Judah. And I hadn't thought about this before, but I thought about it now as I was reading it. A friend of mine years ago used to say, reasoning logically to a wrong conclusion. And he really did. So what did he do? In verse 32 here, Jeroboam instituted a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like the feast which is in Judah, and went up to the altar. Thus he did in Bethel, sacrificing to the calves he had made. And I didn't read the verses where he made two golden calves, set up an altar at each end of the kingdom. And so here he went. He stationed in Bethel priests of the high places which he had made. Then he went up to the altar which he had made in Bethel on the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month that he had devised in his own heart, and instituted a feast for the sons of Israel, and went up to the altar to burn incense. Now God sent a prophet from Judah to talk to him. And Bethel was almost right at the border between the two kingdoms. Okay, so here's the account. Now behold, there came a man of God from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord, while Jeroboam was standing by the altar to burn incense, and he cried against the altar by the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a son shall be born to the house of David, Josiah by name, and on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and human bones shall be burned on you. Then he gave a sign that same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be split apart, and the ashes that are on it shall be poured out. Now it came about, when the king heard the saying of the man of God, that he cried against the altar in Bethel, that Jeroboam stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, seize him! But his hand which he stretched out against him dried up, or became paralyzed. He couldn't pull it back, so that he could not draw it back to himself. The altar also, just like it said, was split apart, and the ashes were poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said to the man of God, please entreat the Lord, and notice the wording, your God, and pray for me that my hand may be restored to me. So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him, and it became as it was before. Then the king said to the man of God, come home and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. Now, he was asked to do it here, and he was asked again later. But the man of God said to the king, if you were to give me half your house, I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread or drink water in this place. And so it was commanded, for so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall eat no bread, nor drink water, nor return by the way which you came. So he went another way, and did not return by the way which he came to Bethel. Now, and here's the problem. Now, an old prophet was living in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the deeds which the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken to the king, and also, and they related to their father. And their father said to them, which way did he go? Now his sons had seen the way which the man of God who came from Judah had gone. Then he said to his sons, saddle the donkey for me. So they saddled the donkey for him, and he rode away on it. So he went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak, and he said to him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said, and here again, this is the second one that asked him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I cannot return with you, nor go with you, nor will I eat bread or drink water with you in this place, for the command came to me by the word of the Lord, and that's my emphasis, you shall eat no bread nor drink water there. Do not return by the way which you came. And he said to him, and here's the problem, I also am a prophet like you, and he was a prophet indeed, but he says, an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. Now, why did he lie? So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. Now it came about as they were sitting at the table that the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. And he cried to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, thus says the Lord, because you've disobeyed the command of the Lord and have not observed the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you, but have returned and eaten bread and drunk water in the place which he said to you, eat no bread and drink no water, your body shall not come to the grave of your fathers. And he correctly predicted it or prophesied it. And it came about after he had eaten bread, after he had drunk, that he saddled the donkey for him, for the prophet whom he had brought back. I'm not sure why he did, because both of the times that he went, he got his sons to do it for him. Maybe he was feeling guilty. He saddled his donkey for him. Then he had gone, and a lion. Now when he had gone, a lion met him on the way and killed him, and his body was thrown on the road with the donkey standing beside it. The lion also standing beside the body. And behold, men passed by and saw the body thrown on the road, and the lion standing beside the body. So they came and told it in the city where the old prophet lived. Now when the prophet who brought him back from the way heard it, he said, it is the man of God who disobeyed the command of the Lord. Therefore the Lord has given him to the lion, which has torn him and killed him, according to the word of the Lord which he had spoken to him. Then he spoke to his sons, saddle the donkey for him, and they saddled it. And he went and found the body thrown on the road with the donkey and the lion standing beside it. And the lion had not eaten the body nor torn the donkey. So the prophet took up the body of the man of God and laid it on the donkey and brought it back and came to the city of the old prophet to mourn and bury him. And he laid his body in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, alas, my brother. And it came about after he had buried him that he spoke to his sons, saying, when I die, bury me in the grave in which the man of God is buried, lay my bones beside his bones, for the thing shall surely come to pass. And it did. It shall surely come to pass, which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all the houses, the high places in the city of Judah. And so what he had said is, the altar is going to be split, and it was. And he said, he didn't say the time, but it was 300 years later, this altar is going to be desecrated by burning the priest's bones on it. Now, indeed that happened. Now, the puzzling thing for me is I kept looking back and reading this story time and again. Why, if this was a prophet of God, why did he lie to this man? What was his motivation? Well, the one verse I thought about is the verse in 1 John 4:1, which will be the next passage that I'll look at when in the next message. believe not every spirit. And so this man believed him to his hurt. Now, I don't know what his motivation was. Ryrie, in his study notes, said, compared him to Balaam. You remember Balaam was asked to curse Israel, and he kept going back to God and asking again. Well, he wanted a reward. I don't know. He thought maybe this man was trying to curry favor with Jeroboam. I don't know. Maybe he was feeling like his turf was being invaded, but I don't know. I don't. Maybe he hadn't been speaking out to Jeroboam about the things he was doing. Why do people lie? Often people lie to keep themselves out of trouble or to try to gain something that they shouldn't otherwise have, or sometimes it's to hurt someone else, maybe to take something from someone. But none of these seem to really fit this, and it's puzzling to me. Why did this man do what he did? Well, I'm going to leave that part, but the conclusion is this. There's just numerous things that are puzzling to me about this story, but the conclusion I have is this. Don't believe someone when you've had a clear word from the Lord. Then don't believe someone who says, he said, I'm a prophet, and he was. He said, an angel told me. So if there's been a clear word from the Lord, then don't trust someone else's word to the contrary. So there are things that are clear to us. Let's do those. Now, if then there are things that are uncertain, let's take time. Let's be careful. Let's search the scriptures. Let's seek advice from those that we know, those that we trust, those that have walked with the Lord for years and we've observed their life. Let's not take advice from someone who says, and he was correct, I am a prophet. Why he said, an angel told me, I don't know. But the man listened to his hurt. The Lord had told him, and because he didn't listen, he lost his life. Let's kneel. Thank you, Father, that we can gather in this way here today. We do this from Sunday to Sunday, and we just tend to take it for granted. We realize that there are many throughout the world who don't have it like this. So help us to hear what you have to say to us, lift our spirits to you and worship you today. Bless each part of the service for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.